Are you weak or are you meek? That's the title of today's lesson. And I think a lot of us do not understand, and maybe it's because it's a bad translation, what being meek means. You know, I think some of us equate meek with weak. And we know that Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." I don't think a lot of us believe that. And maybe one of the reasons we don't believe that is we don't understand what meek means. Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." What do we mean by meek? Do you equate it to being a nerd? Do you equate it to being a pushover? Do you equate meek to standing for nothing? Do you equate meek with weak? I don't think I've ever heard anybody define this word. And when I started looking into it, I found out it doesn't mean any of those things at all. Meekness is an indication of strength, not weakness. There's a dictionary called Nelson's Bible Dictionary that takes original words in Greek and Hebrew and explains what they really mean. And listen to the definition of meek. Meekness is an attitude of humility towards God and gentleness towards man, springing from a recognition that God is in control. It is strength and courage under control. You hear that? Strength and courage under control, coupled with kindness. Strength and courage under control. The Greek word, and I have this in the bulletin, and Carl could probably tell you how to pronounce that, P-R-A-J-O-S, means literally power under control, as in a powerful medicine, a soothing medicine, or a broken colt horse. A broken colt horse. You ever see a horse that is young and has not been used to a saddle very much? And what happens when you get on that horse? I'll just say you better hang on. Because there's a lot of power there, but it's not developed meekness. What we want as a horse that we want to ride, and in the parade the other night, I know the girls knew all these girls that were riding these horses. We saw some horses that were incredibly meek. They were very strong. They were very controlled. They could have caused a lot of damage if they wanted to. That's meekness. That's meekness. And you know, sometimes we see animals. I know that if you get on YouTube much, there is an amazing video on YouTube. It's been on there for about a year. And almost everybody that does any hunting or any work outside has seen this. It's a video a woman shot. She was riding on a group of horses, and there was a donkey on the back of this train that was going through the mountains in Montana. And a cougar attacked the donkey. And for whatever reason, she had this camera in her hand and photographed this whole thing. And you know, I normally think of a donkey as being a pretty meek animal, a pretty quiet, gentle, you know. I've been up and down the Grand Canyon a dozen times or so, and they got donkeys all over the place in there. And they're very sweet animals, very quiet, very controlled animals. But you better not get one ticked off. I've heard the guide say that. And this donkey, when the cougar attacks it, gets a hold of the cougar, and he's swinging the cougar around and around and around. He threw him off the trail, and you'd think that'd be enough. But then he went after him. And the donkey actually killed the cougar. And this whole thing is on video. You can go on YouTube and you can see it. And I just thought, you know, that's sort of the picture we get. If you stop and think about it, about Jesus. He has that potential. He has the courage. He has the strength. And if you don't believe that, think about when he goes in and turns over the money changers. I mean, these are big, burly merchants who would not take kindly to having their tables overturned. Jesus doesn't bat an eye. He wades right into that. If you have a Bible with you, I'd like to encourage you to turn to Psalms 37 for a minute. It's kind of an interesting acrostic in Psalms 37. We have done a study in Psalms in the last year. Some of you will remember that an acrostic is when you take a letter and then you use that letter as the starting point of whatever you're expressing. I won't do the whole alphabet here, but I would like to show you this acrostic because it's an acrostic on meekness. And each verse is a letter in the Greek alphabet. So the first one, and again, I'm in Psalms 37, verse 1. For A in the Hebrew alphabet, do not fret because of evil men. Okay, we're being told here we're talking about meekness. One attribute of meekness is you don't fret. Or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. All right, now the letter B, key word. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Enjoy safe pleasure. Delight yourself. Notice, delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. C, commit. All right, here's another case of commit. Here's a strength. Here's a meekness. Boy, commitment is not popular in our culture, is it? Our culture is scared to death of commitment. That's why marriage numbers are dropping, because people don't want to commit. This says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the source of your cause like noonday sun. That's a product of being meek. In the next verse, D in the alphabet, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Now, that's good advice. That's an interesting characteristic of meekness. Be still and let God take control. E is verse 8. Refrain, or some translations say cut off, from anger and from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. You ever have a temper problem? Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. That's meekness. You know why people have temper problems? It's because of weakness. It's not because of strength. It's a meek characteristic. I have taken a couple of psychology classes in which they talk about what causes kids to have tantrums. Tantrums are in children that are extremely insecure and unsure of themselves and are unwilling to launch out on their own. And that's exactly what this passage says. F, this is verse 10, a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. And look at verse 11. But the meek will inherit the land. And notice that's exactly the same as Matthew 5:5. It's kind of interesting that we have all of these teachings in the Bible about this. Meekness is finding solution to life's problems. You know, we all have problems in life. But I think it's important to understand that approaching those problems and how we solve those problems is a function of whether we're meek or whether we're weak. Jesus said in Matthew 11, beginning with verse 28, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Meekness is taking on the yoke of Jesus. Meekness is looking for solutions to problems by doing it God's way. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Turn it over to God. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and notice how many of these things are meekness characteristics, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying one another. Meekness means staying in step with God's Spirit, using the principles God has given us in approaching the problems of life, be it money problems, be it sex problems, be it business problems, be it emotional problems, being meek, even when we're in positions of power. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 1, "Masters, provide your slaves or your workers with what is right and fair, because you know that you have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful." Meekness is not giving up power. Let me repeat that. Meekness is not giving up power. The power you have needs to be put to the right use. You know, I talk with kids regularly on email about where they're going with their life. They've got talents. They've got abilities. We have some young people here with incredible talents, incredible abilities. One of the things I keep saying to them is, do it meekly, and then I come back to this definition. You have great power. Use it the right way. So choose a career where you're going to be doing things that are compatible with God's plan for your life, things where you serve. I'm so thankful we have so many people in this congregation that have turned their life into facility workers that involve medicine, nursing, caring for others. That's part of this business of meekness. You know, there are biblical examples of meekness. Let's remind ourselves of a couple of these. Abraham. What made Abraham a person that the Bible refers to as being meek? Well, let me give you one example. You remember Genesis 13, beginning with verse 7? He's got a problem with Lot. Their cattle have gotten so numerous that they can't sustain them all on the land where they are. So they decide to separate. Lot's going his way, Abraham's going their way, to keep the flocks away from each other so they won't overgraze. What does Abraham do? He demonstrates meekness. He's not weak. It isn't long before he goes and rescues Lot by militarily taking people out of the way that had caused Lot problems. But what he says to Lot is, okay, it's all out there. You take first choice. Now, we're going to look at Lot here in a minute because Lot is weak. What Lot does is he looks over there and things over there aren't so good. So he says, okay, I'll take the good stuff. That's a man with no meekness. That's a man of great weakness. That's a man of selfishness. Selfishness is part of weakness. The meek man, the man that has some strength, is Abraham, who says, you go ahead. You take the best. That's fine. I'll take what's left. Remember Joseph? Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery. God works in his life, and in Genesis 45, it's time for revenge. The brothers have been taken out of the area where they had grown up. They are starving to death. They come to Egypt. Joseph is in control in Egypt. All he has to say to the people standing around him is, kill those guys, and his brothers are dead meat. And they know that. They're talking to each other and they're scared to death. See, they're weak. They solved their problems by selling their brother into slavery. They took the easy road out. That's weakness. What does Joseph do? Read Genesis 45, verses 3 through 5. Joseph says to his brothers, hey, this is part of God's hand. All those things we just read in Psalms 36 about waiting on God, God has taken their weakness. God has taken their selfishness. God has taken their willingness to use him, and he has turned it into good. And Joseph says, I know God is going to use this for something great. He's going to save our family. That's what meekness does. That's strength. That's the definition we talked about, strength and courage under control. And what did Jesus mean when Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly in heart? Luke 4 and verse 36, the Bible says, all the people were amazed. He's got control now. Jesus could start an insurrection. He could overthrow the Roman government. The people are amazed. And why? Because he spoke with authority and power. They said, he gives orders. And even the spirits obey him. The news about him spread, the passage says. Read Luke 4, verse 36. This is a situation with a man who has tremendous power, recognized by everybody that hears him. So what does he do? What he does is he goes to the cross. He had the strength. He had the courage. I hope when you partake of the communion, it crosses your mind now and then at least to say, can you imagine sitting there and watching people drive nails through your hands and your wrist and knowing you have the power to stop it and not stopping it? Can you imagine that? That's not a weak individual. That's courage under control. That's strength. And Jesus says in John 10 and verse 18 that he did it voluntarily. Listen to this meek man, Jesus. He says, no one takes my life from me. No one takes my life away from me. Jesus had the strength to stop it. Then he goes on and he says, I lay it down of my own accord. Well, you talk about strength. You talk about a person who had power. You have a person who had strength under control. Well, let's flip the coin over and read the other part. Who are the weak people? Well, let's take Saul back in the Old Testament. Saul in the Old Testament is an egomaniac, first of all. You read 1 Samuel 15, beginning with verse 9, and you see a man of incredible weakness. The first thing was he couldn't handle David's success. You know, it's interesting. Parents can handle their children's success. Why? Well, sometimes it's because they like to take credit for it. You know, well, my kid got that from me. Huh. Sometimes it's simply because they love the child and are thrilled to seek success. But Saul couldn't understand. He couldn't handle David's success, even though it was lifting him up. And it got him in terrible trouble. You remember what happened with Saul. Saul had been told by God to destroy the Amalekites because of the things they had done in the past. And what Saul does is he goes in and he keeps the cattle. What Saul goes in and is he spares King Agag. Why do you think he spared the king of the Amalekites? Because what he was going to do was he was going to parade Agag through the streets of town and say, look what I did. I got the king of the Amalekites here. There was no other reason for him to save the man's life. And he says that the cattle were done to sacrifice. But listen to what else was going on. This is, again, you read 1 Samuel 5, beginning with verse 9, but then go to verse 12. What happens next is that Samuel comes to find Saul, and the Bible says Saul set out to build a monument for himself, and Samuel couldn't find him. There's a weak man. There's a man who couldn't handle success. There's an egomaniac. I'm thrilled that our young people have had success in so many things they've done. In 4-H, in school, we've got some kids that are doing amazing things. But it's important for them to understand how to use that strength, to have meekness, to have the ability to take the power that God's given them and use it in the right way. Saul couldn't do that. There's another guy, Simon. Simon saw the apostles' gift of the Spirit and he wanted to use it for the wrong reasons. And he's diagnosed by Paul, who says, I see that you are full of bitterness. Weakness brings bitterness. And listen to Paul's condemnation of him when he talks about that. He says, you're evil. You're full of sin. The evil people you know are people that are weak. People that use other people. It doesn't take any strength to do that. Anybody can be a coward. Anybody can refuse to get involved in the problems and the struggles of life. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we have people in this congregation that are strong enough to go out and address the needs of people of this community? We talked about Lot a few minutes ago. Lot took the best without being thankful to Abraham for what Abraham had done. And then in the New Testament, we see some incredibly weak people like Felix. Felix couldn't handle truth. All Felix could see was money. Listen to Acts 24, beginning with verse 24. Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness and self-control and judgment to come, Felix was afraid. Felix was afraid. Why are people not in church this morning? Why do people not get involved in worshiping God? Because we live in a weak culture, people are afraid. They're afraid to get involved. They're afraid to get involved in living a way that is constructive and useful and positive. So what Felix says, that's enough for now, you may leave. When it is convenient, I will send for you. Well, of course, it never became convenient. The Bible goes on and says, listen to this, talk about weakness. All at the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. But because Felix wanted to gain the favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Greed, money, those are indications of weakness. Felix was too weak to act on what was right and what was true. He was not meek. And then there was Agrippa. Agrippa was another weak man we read about in the New Testament. He was too weak to act on Paul's message. You remember Acts 26, beginning of verse 27, the Bible says, Paul talking to Agrippa says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul answered and said, shorter time or long time, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me may today become a Christian. King Agrippa was too weak to obey the gospel of Christ. He was too weak to make that step. And so he says, do you think in such a short time, do you think you can turn me away from what I've got, from my success? My question to you is, are you weak or are you meek? In our culture, I think weakness is shown in so many ways. We've already talked about a few of them. But when your morality is survival of the fittest, what you are expressing is an indication of weakness. You're saying, I can't act beyond my own self-interest. In our correspondence course, we have a question where we ask people to compare the atheist view and the Christian view of different choices we make in life. One of the choices that we ask them to deal with is, what about dealing with the poor? What about dealing with the people who are mentally incompetent? What about the problems involved with people who have learning disabilities? What would the atheist view be? What would the Christian view be? And how would you respond to this? What's interesting to me about this is, especially in prisons, and that's where I grade about 100 correspondence courses every week. About 95 of those come from prisons. When prisoners answer that, they inevitably say it's survival of the fittest. In other words, the person that is mentally retarded is retarded because they're not fit. And I'm not going to put money into that. The person that has a learning disability because of something that happened in their family. I'm not going to put money in that. Survival of the fittest is an indication of weakness. What does the Bible say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Boy, there's a statement of meekness. There's a statement of strength, courage, power under control. What do you trust? Are you meek or are you weak? Are you like Felix? Are you like Agrippa? I pray that all of you would have the strength today to become a meek person. If you're not a Christian, understand meekness. Understand coming to Jesus because he is meek and lowly in heart. Coming to Jesus because he says the meek shall inherit the earth is an act of strength and courage under control, turning that control over to God. And I would pray you would not go the way of the world, a way of weakness, selfishness, using others refusing to meet the opportunities God placed in front of you to be able to serve. If you're here this morning, if you have lived a life of weakness, if you're willing to become meek and submit to God, we urge you to do that. As together we stand and sing the song, won't you please respond?